Good morning, everybody, and welcome. This is Lizzie and Justin. And here we are for Turning Towards Life and our usual Sunday morning way, 9 a.m. ish UK time. And we are happy as usual, very happy to be here and to be sharing little stories before we go live of people who are listening to this and who we didn't know were listening and who let us know in some way. And so, Justin, this story was yours today, but we both have old school friends, for example, who we haven't seen for years, who end up listening to us and then telling us that they're grateful and involved. And it's a real wonder. So, as usual, we really want to invite you to tell us if you're listening and maybe you know us from history, or maybe you don't know us and you've only ever seen us in Turning Towards Life, but we love, love, love hearing from people. So if you want to email us, oh, and Justin, that thing happened the other day where a wonderful, wonderful person wrote us a poem and sent it to us on email. And it was so moving. So, Lana, if you're listening, we're so grateful for you writing us a poem and for including us in your world in that very excellent way of writing a poem dedicated to us. And we may even bring it as a source. It was such a beautiful, beautiful possibility for Turning Towards Life. I have to remember that one because it is such a beautiful outcome of Turning Towards Life. And Justin, at the beginning, I remember us saying to one another, we're just going to have a go and see what happens with this podcast thing. And so far, all of the kind of outcomes, all of the things that have happened because of it, we could never have, and we didn't predict at all. And somebody writing us a poem because they had listened and been part of another poetry collective, and in reflection, sending us a poem. I just couldn't have even imagined that that would happen. It was so cool that the poem was the poem that got written, and the person was the person who sent it, and that it was in some way related to Turning Towards Life. So cool. So anyway, if you want to email us, you can email us at hello@turningtowards.life, or you can email just me, Lizzie, at turningtowards.life, or just Justin, turningtowards.life. And we would so love to hear from you. You can also go to our website, which is www.turningtowards.life, and look at all of the episodes. You can send links to your friends. You can send the Spotify link, whatever it is. It's like, what do you call it? The space that says it's Turning Towards Life's podcast. And you can just send the whole podcast to people with the little share button on Spotify as well. And please do that. It's really wonderful when new people come and then they can kind of access the whole of the backstory of it as well on our website. You can also sign up to have these things arrive in your inbox, which for some people is really brilliant. So you don't have to click on any links in the web. If you like, you just click on the email and it takes you straight to us. So thank you for all being here. Thank you for people who contact us, for people who write us poems, and for people who are in the realms and that we never hear from as well. We're also equally delighted that you're just there and that we don't hear from you, but we do love it when someone says hello. So thank you.
Texas, it is very wonderful. I want to say a particular hello to Michael, who's my old friend, who got in contact this week, having listened to an episode after many, 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 many years of us not being in contact. That's really, really wonderful. And it's lovely to be doing this at this time of year, Lizzie. I think we might have been the day of Christmas that we did this last year. I think somehow the days worked out somehow in that way. But we're in this winter period that's just been the solstice, and in the Northern Hemisphere, the darkest, longest night of the year, and we're heading out the other side towards something else. So it's very glad we're doing it this week. And also, just to say to everyone, if you want to support us, you're very welcome to think about that too. On our turningtowards.life website, there's a button which says support us, and you can buy us a cup of coffee or become a member, which is very a grand way of saying keeping on buying us cups of coffee. And that's a lovely way of feeling in relationship with people. We've had some really gorgeous interactions with people who've chosen to do that. So thank you to all of you who have done that and are thinking about doing that. And as usual, we have a source for this week, which you can find on in our Facebook group and on the website and in the notes for the podcast and the YouTube and in the email and all of those places. And I, Lizzie, have been rereading Ken Wilber's very brilliant book, No Boundary, which is about all the splits that we make in ourselves and between ourselves and the world, inevitably by being growing from babyhood into adulthood and living in families and communities and cultures and societies and having bodies. And it's such a clear explanation both of how that happens, but also what it might be to start to undo some of those divisions in and between us, and why that can be a very life-giving thing. So I have loved reading that book again over the last couple of weeks. And there's three or four pages about how we project what's inside us that's hard for us to know as ourselves onto other people so that we can see it, and what we might do about that. And this little section comes from that. So I guess we'll do the usual thing. We'll read it and then we'll talk about it. Taking back our projections. Perhaps nothing is more painful than the feeling of acute self-consciousness, the feeling that everybody is staring at us. Maybe we have to give a speech or act in a play or receive an award, and we freeze because we feel that everybody is looking at us. But many people don't freeze in public, so the problem must lie not in the situation itself, but in something we are doing in the situation. And what we are doing is projecting our own interest in people so that everybody seems interested in us. Instead of actively looking, we feel looked at. We give our eyes to the audience, so that their natural interest in us seems blown out of proportion into a massive amount of interest zeroed in on us personally, watching every move, every detail, every action. And so naturally we freeze. And we will stay frozen until we dare to take back the projection, to look instead of feeling looked at, to give attention instead of being clobbered by it.
Justin. Taking Back Our Projections from Ken Wilber's No Boundary book. Perhaps nothing is more painful than the feeling of acute self-consciousness. The feeling that everybody is staring at us. Maybe we have to give a speech or act in a play or receive an award, and we freeze because we feel that everybody is looking at us. But many people don't freeze in public. So the problem must lie not in the situation itself, but in something we're doing in the situation. And what we're doing is projecting our own interest in people so that everybody seems interested in us. Instead of actively looking, we feel looked at. We give our eyes to the audience so that their natural interest in us seems blown out of proportion into a massive amount of interest zeroed in on us personally. Watching every move, every detail, every action. And so naturally, we freeze. And we will stay frozen until we dare to take back the projection, to look instead of feeling looked at, to give attention instead of being clobbered by it.
Lizzie, I have to say, I have this whole section that this is a little excerpt from, I so loved reading because, first of all, to me, it is an amazing thing to keep on realizing that very often when I'm experiencing something, it's something I'm doing, not just something I'm feeling, but also something I'm doing. And to be able to ask the question, what am I doing here that brings about the experience that I'm having, is an incredibly liberating question. It may be that I'm doing nothing and that it really is all coming from outside. But as Ken Wilber says, if I'm experiencing something in the same situation where somebody else doesn't experience it, then there's probably something I'm doing, whether or not I can know it or not. It's a really good place to look. So I find that very joyful and liberating. So oh, this isn't just happening to me. There might be some other stance or place I can take up. So that's sort of part one. And I notice as I read it every time, it's sort of like a relief. It's like, This, by the way, has this very situation that Ken Wilber was writing about has affected me many, many times in my life, as I suppose it has many others of us. And I've been experiencing it recently in some meetings that I have to run where I have been freezing. You and I have talked about a little bit about this, Lizzie, and the complexities of it. So that's the first thing that I get very excited about somehow. But then the second thing that I've never read anywhere else. So I've thought about projections quite a lot in my life. You know, the idea that there's something, things in me that I don't want to see that I project onto other people. And it's been easy for me to see it in a sort of a very negative kind of light. Like if I see selfishness somewhere else, it must be my selfishness that I can't find in myself. And if I see anger somewhere else, it must be the anger I can't see in myself. And all of that can be true. But there's this thing that Ken Wilber does here, which is, I think, really beautiful, where he says, what we're doing is we're projecting our own interest in people. When we feel everybody's interest in us and it's overwhelming, the thing that I'm projecting is that I am interested in people. And instead of owning my own interest in other people, I'm not really paying attention to it. So I experience all of that interest coming at me. That is other people's interest, but then it's all of my interest in what's going on coming back at me, and I experience it as something outside me. I'm not only not in contact with, I suppose I've thought about projections very often as how we project what we take to be sort of negative in ourselves, like I won't own in myself. It seems to me a really beautiful move to make to go, well, the reason I feel so scrutinized is I'm really interested in people, and I've put my eyes where they are. Instead of putting my eyes where I am, and instead of being worried about how all this interest that's coming my way, I could be interested in them. And the moment I'm interested in them, rather than having my own eyes be put in them and then looking back at me, in other words, I turn all of my interest the other way around, there's such a kindness in it because I can own in a loving way the something that I've put elsewhere. So it seems to me such a great question when we're in a experiencing something coming from the outside that might not be coming from the outside, not only to ask what it is it that I'm doing here, but also to ask what's the kind of goodness in me that I won't own that if I turned it in a different direction would really liberate. He gives another really good example that isn't in here, but in the book he says that very often when we feel pressured, you know, pressured to do things, it would really help us to own up to that we quite want to do stuff. And that the feeling that other people are expecting us to do stuff might be more helpfully known as actually I want to do things. And if I could really see that I want to do things as well and could own that, it's really kind. I can own other people's interest in me as my interest, then I can turn it in a kinder way back to them. If I can own my wish to do things instead of just having it be other people's wish that I do things, I can start to make some decisions about what I really want to do as opposed to just feeling like I have to do things all the time. Oh, anyway, you can hear that. It feels like one of those things that when you see it, you can't really unsee it. It's been in the background, and once we see it, it gives us a ton of freedom to look at things in a different way and from a different perspective.
As you're sharing all this, Justin, there's lots arising for me. And one thing that's coming is remembering a day and remembering it as like an experience that I don't know when it happened or why or much detail about it. But I remember the day when I thought, I'm not separate from that rainbow. I'm not separate from that tree. The rainbow is me, and the tree is me, and I am the rainbow, and I am the tree. And I haven't read No Boundary by Ken Wilber, but the bit you said at the beginning about all the ways we separate ourselves off and make, I think you said like divisions or something between, or distinctions between thing, us, and the world, and everything. And I have a very distinct kind of event memory of reconsidering that. A rainbow is something to be admired and looked at and revered. And oh my gosh, look, that exists in the world. And of course, that's lovely. But then realizing that I'm not not the rainbow, that there's something in me that is in receipt of that rainbow or is not different than that rainbow, and that I get to appreciate myself for being that, that there isn't the distinctions that I thought there were about me being far away from that rainbow or that tree or what. I think I was in the park at the time. And it's really discombobulating. And I don't know about anyone else listening, Justin, but I know some quite fruity neurodivergence in me. And topics like projection scramble me quite well. And so what I try and do is allow the scramblement to throw me into curiosity rather than the other path that I have sometimes gone down, which is I don't understand. My brain doesn't work like this. I can't articulate what projection really is. I don't dare speak about it because I'll be confused and I won't understand. And there's something about like logical things that don't really work so well for my system. And so this whole thing is like an undoing in a way, that the talk of projections and seeing that I'm not separate from things somehow, because it triggers a response in my system that's, I think, is some neurodivergence. Like my brain doesn't work in the same common cogs as many people's brains, or my thinking patterns or something. The gift of it for me is that in the scramble, my distinctions somehow disappear. And I could respond to that by kind of panicking and thinking, oh, I don't get it, or I'm stupid or something. But what I've learned to do is to relax a bit and see it as an opening for wondering what on earth is happening. And I think that's really the gift of it too, is that it does bring me quite quickly close to the no boundariness. Because in that confusion and in that undefined realm where I haven't found another conclusion, or it hasn't led to another excellent understanding or something, I feel like there's an opening of non-logic and acceptance of things as experiential rather than like a thinking thing. And so when I can experience the rainbow in that way, or I can experience, you know, in this example, like an audience, if I can experience the audience as a happening, as a something, multiple something, multitudinous somethingness arising in me, it shifts the whole relationship to what's happening. And I too know what it feels like to feel watched and whatever. And actually, Justin, that's one of the amazing gifts of Turning Towards Life, is that often people come towards me now where they have a sense of who I am, but I don't know who they are. And that is such a big gift to me. Like I'm completely open to meeting people who listen to Turning Towards Life, and if they come on our programs or whatever, because I know that projection that I have, like, basically done what Ken Wilber's saying in the first part of this piece of writing here, immediately gets undone. Because they're connecting with me as me, not as a person they don't know yet or something. And I feel like that's another outcome, like I was saying at the beginning, that I could never have foretold. It's like, oh, actually, people coming up and speaking to me in a way that they already know me is like one of the big, like a huge, big, big fat gift in my life, that I don't have to do this all the time, because actually what's coming at me is people who already get a sense of who I am from having listened to us and can hopefully trust us and get who we are at a kind of deep level from our conversations. And then the projection isn't one of separateness, but it's something wholly different because it's to do with connection. And I think at the end of this, when Ken, this little passage, when Ken Wilber's talking about, instead of feeling looked at, to give attention instead, that switch around is a thing that happens because of turning towards life. And it's such a beautiful thing, like you said, to know that there's something that can be that we can be doing, which is to give and to pay attention rather than be on the receiving end of the tidal, the tsunami feeling of everybody's looking at me, and that there's something that we can do feels really empowering and really hopeful. And it is excruciating to feel examined and looked at and whatever. But because so much of the time it's probably not happening anyway, it feels very liberating to know we can turn it around and give and pay attention and connect in that way.
It's lovely, isn't it? I'll just join in with this bit every now and again. I'll speak to someone, maybe someone I know who I haven't seen for a long time, Lizzie, but who's been listening, and they'll say, "Oh, I've been spending loads of time with you." And it's very sweet. I was really touched by all the things that you said, and it is really important that we find ways of talking about this that don't rely on us having to have a very particular way of thinking or speaking about it in order to understand it. And so all of your examples are also incredibly illuminating for me. And I was thinking about when you were talking about rainbows. I'd never thought about it until now, but one way to experience a rainbow is to experience it as very separate. But another way is to go, well, if I'm experiencing the rainbow, then the experience of rainbow is happening here in me. And there is no rainbow without the experiencing of rainbow, really. And so, me and the rainbow, we're not separate to one another. There's a very real way. It's a very real way in which you, Lizzie, the something that Lizzie in the world is taking is happening here in me, as much as in you. That's a bit mind blowing when we get our minds around this, that the world, the way the world is arising in us as much as it's arising outside us. And so we're really not as separate. But then what I also could see was that if the rainbow is arising in me, then I'm doing something for the rainbow to be that way. I'm not just a passive recipient. I'm participating in the rainbow being, existing in the way that a rainbow can be experienced. So I am already doing something all the time. I'm already a participant in everything, which is the key to what Ken Wilber's saying. And this thing you were just talking about feeling the wave of attention. I really love that he writes that what's happening is we're turning people's natural interest in us into something that's giant and blown out of proportion. So it is true. If you're doing Turning Towards Life, or people are listening, or giving a talk, or anything, that people will be naturally interested, just as we are interested. I'm, as we're talking, I'm starting to see that in any situation where I feel either I'm going to take up the more difficult end of things, put upon by something. Oh my goodness, all this attention coming this way. Oh my goodness, all this pressure coming my way. Instead of just feeling it, I can ask this question: how is that the thing that I'm experiencing happening in me that I'm then pretending it's happening over there? So I can go, oh, what's going on here is a ton of interest. If it's my interest, what am I being interested in? And could I be interested in something other than the thing I'm being interested in? Like, I can feel all this interest coming back my way, and it's actually mostly mine because I've, as he says, put my eyes over there. All those eyes looking back at me are really my eyes looking back at me. I can do this thing and say, where could I be interested? And it's a really lovely, it's a really beautiful move to say, oh, I'm clearly a very interested person. I'm really interested in people. And then I can go, so if I'm just with you and I'm worried about how you're scrutinizing me, I can see that a lot of that's probably my interest, and I can just be really interested in you. Can switch it around. I could take back the interest, go, I'm interested in you. When I feel super pressured, and so much of that pressure is coming from sort of sense of obligation, and I can go, well, all of that wish that I'm doing something could be mine, And now, if I turn it around, I can ask the question, what do I want to do with my wish to do things? Which might or might not be the wish that I do things that I've put into you that makes me feel like you have this ton of 50,000 things I'm meant to do. I can do that. So we can reclaim all of this as a kind of goodness. We can say every one of those is a goodness in us, an essential goodness in us that we've mistakenly thought was outside of us, and it's coming back, and have it coming back at us, and then we can own it again and put it back out. And it's exactly the same with rainbows. So if I start to experience the rainbow as beautiful and awe-inspiring, which is a not an unpleasant thing to experience, but I can also ask the question, how is what is beautiful and awe-inspiring being awakened here in me? And how might I turn that towards the world? It's a little bit less obvious because we're not suffering in that situation. But the ability to experience the beauty of a rainbow and our non-separateness from the rainbow is actually something that we can turn back into the world in lots and lots of ways. So there's a sort of golden light-filled projection that we also do, as well as all the way that we project what we find icky and awful. And what would it be if we were really prepared to use every one of those experiences to know and own with dignity the sacredness of a kind of real goodness inside us, and then turn it back towards the world? Could do that with everything.
I'm feeling this new curiosity, Justin, about the relationship between pressure and connection. That there's a kind of like an antidote. I don't know if that's the right word. But I think for in my system, it's like you're talking about owning our own place in things rather than feeling like we're being done to by whatever's going on around us. And it feels very powerful to me and real that when there is a situation where there's pressure on us to do something or be something, we don't have to stay in the pressure cooker of it. It's not a given that we have to stay there. There's also something else that we could do, which is, your language is, turn it around and put the interest out into the world, into the people around us, into the situation, so that we aren't only recipient, but we're also generating something too. We're participating in a way that's empowering, that's got us in it and our actions in it, rather than like rabbit in the headlights feeling of I'm just overpowered by what's happening to me. And I'm feeling that there's this quite unusual, non-obvious route to doing that, which is to connect with whatever you're receiving the pressure from, whoever you're receiving the pressure from. And in that connection and in that kind of intimacy, something can flow rather than it be this kind of dead end of frozenness that it's so easy to experience. And I think that's going on all the time in the world. It's just bringing up all these examples of, oh, yes, that happened then. That's what was going on then. That's what was going on then. And then in those situations that I can remember and imagine in this moment to connect because of them, to see it as a reason to connect with, or a trigger to connect with, or a chance to connect is really different than going around, hedging around to not experience that thing ever again. And you said something at the beginning that really sparked my imagination as well about projection being like, this isn't going to be exactly what you said because I can't remember, but projection being a chance to do something or to see something about ourselves, an opportunity rather than and to know ourselves in a different way rather than leaving something out there as that person's bad or that person's good or that rainbow's beautiful. But having every time that we notice there's some projection going on, like some othering, some otherness happening, whether it's that golden one you were talking about, or whether it's something more shadowy, that each of those times where we notice that we're excluding ourselves from something, excluding myself from the badness or excluding myself from the goodness, that I can take it as an opportunity to connect with whatever that quality is and find myself there. And I think this conversation, Justin, isn't separate to this theme that I think we've touched on many times in Turning Towards Life, which is, what does it mean to receive this life, to actually let this life impact me? And I think this is one of the key things about it, is if every time I'm in an encounter with my projections, I can find myself in them and I can connect in all these ways that you're saying, Justin, I'm in receipt of my life rather than, and I'm an example to myself of non-separateness, because I'm welcoming these experiences as chances to know myself more, or to experience my life more fully, more extendedly than the way I have been before. So it also feels like, you know, taking back our projections is one way that we can be in receipt of our lives rather than holding it at bay or feeling really separate or lonely or different than. To receive our lives is in some way to take back all of this into ourselves and to be the full experience of this humanness that I came here to be.
Gorgeous place to land as we come to the end, Lizzie, that so much of what we experience as coming from other people is really us coming back to us. And if we, instead of fending it away, because all those horrible people who are looking at me and scrutinizing me, I could go, well, if this is me looking back at me, what is that? And one of the opportunities is for me to see is that it might be a real kind of goodness. It might be a misplaced kind of goodness that's pointed in the wrong direction to be helpful to anyone. But if I can see, there's a lot of interest here, let me receive my own interest, then I can bring it again because I've received it.
Mm.
Rather than going, nothing to do with me, nothing to do with me, that's nothing to do with me.
Mm.
And you could do that with anything. So that's also what's opening for me from this conversation. So brilliant to talk with you about it at some point, to spend some time just watching what it is to receive all the thing about projections is normally we experience them as unwelcome, so all the unwelcomeness that comes from other people, and to go, how much of that is me coming back at me? Not all of it will be, and sometimes none of it is, but a lot of the time it's going to be, oh, that's me, can I receive me, my own life? And then can I include in a way that's more truthful than the way that I'd, all the judgments I had about it, that can then be of service also to everyone. Wow, that's a big turning inside out of things that could happen from this conversation. So we have reached our self-declared but appointed time.
Mm-hmm.
And it's been wonderful having this conversation with you again, Lizzie. I feel so grateful that we get to do this. And thank you, everyone, all of you who are with us, for being with us. If you're right here with us at the end of this conversation, thank you for staying with us to the end. And we will be back again, all being well, next week for our final Turning Towards Life of the calendar year that is called 2023. And really look forward to being with you all then.
Thanks, everybody.
Bye, everyone.